he's right here, so. What are we talking about? He cold talked it.
Okay. Ready to go. Yeah.
Gate iron.
Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark, and we have had an amazing week of golf, but the golfing world hasn't had an amazing week.
Definitely not. Our man Tiger.
I know.
What do we know, more importantly?
Well, what I do know is we haven't seen one picture of him. Like, how is he? How's he looking?
He released something on his Twitter today, or was it yesterday? No, yesterday it was, after the tournament, thanking everybody for the support and seeing all the players in red and how much the fans' support means to me. It's getting me through this very difficult time. So that's his first statement. Everything else has been from his management group and from the orthopedic surgeons and things like that.
Well, I hope he sees this podcast and gives a good shout out to me for being in red as well.
I feel terrible. Got my hoodie, my grey hoodie and my grey hat on. No, but it's terrible news, isn't it? I mean, when it first broke out last Tuesday, we were in total shock, weren't we? You see the wreckage and you think the worst, don't you?
I'm still waiting for it to be an April Fool's or something. Like, I'm still waiting for someone to say, "Oh, he messed up." Now he's sweet.
I know. We were so excited for him, thinking, you know what, he's going to be back for the Masters, and we get to see Tiger again.
Well, he was playing with Dwayne Wade, wasn't he, on the Monday?
Yeah, well, yeah.
He was, I don't know if he had, no, like, again, there was no pictures of him hitting shots or nothing, but he was walking with clubs in his hand. It was an exciting, I got excited.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that you, my lord?
Total turn of events when I the Monday to the Tuesday, yeah.
Not half. But it's a very dangerous road, that, where he was. And I've seen a couple of reports saying he was a bit disgruntled when he was leaving the hotel and things.
So he might have been
speeding. But then I've also seen that there was no brake marks on the anywhere to be seen. There was no brake marks. So he's like veered off and flipped. And
yeah,
he hasn't had time to react at all. So
you don't know.
Anything else is speculating in it, but
that's it. The main thing is that he can still be a father to his children. When you look at an injury like that, although there's serious injuries to his legs, you can think of the head damage as well. If he has a knock on his head, he couldn't be the same. He mightn't be the same person. Brain trauma or something like that.
Well, they don't bring the jaws of life out for nothing, do they? To pry you out the car or cut you out the car.
They said they haven't used that now.
Oh, they haven't used it?
Fake news, yeah.
Oh my God! You just
said it was an axe. The fireman used an axe to get him out. Initial reports were that he was using the jaws of life, but then it was confirmed that wasn't the case.
Well, there you go. You just don't. That's why you need to see him.
Yeah,
that's why we need to be seeing him. Like, usually, like, I know it's Tiger Woods, and we've all seen from the Tiger documentary what sort of information can be bought, and with the reporter found the tampon of the girl and all that, and
they're
buying it off him so they can buy footage and not get it released, like, because he's powerful. But you'd think someone would have some sort of body cam footage or a picture of Tiger in the hospital or just some, do you know what I mean? Like, something. I think
further down the line, once you know the extent of his injuries and how serious this is going to be for his comeback, there'll be something out there. But yeah, I think quite rightly they're keeping that under wraps, aren't they? And been following the story quite close, haven't we? Multiple fractures is what they're saying. Double breaks, and obviously we're not orthopedic surgeons. Is that what it is? I can never pronounce that word. Orthopedic. I don't know.
Orthopedic.
Anyway, orthopedic. There we go. A guy, Bill Mallon, this former PGA professional, he's as quoted as saying, an American footballer, Alex Smith, sustained similar injuries. And had a number of complications with his, and he ended up having a total of 17 surgeries.
Why did this fella? Who's this fella? What right has he got to comment on things like?
Well, you're going to make me say that word again, but he was a former PJ professional turned orthopedic surgeon. Now,
where did he find the time to be doing that and then switching careers?
I know. Maybe he missed a lot of cuts, I don't know, and spent his weekends reading a lot of books. I don't know much about him. I just know that he's a former tour player turned orthopedic surgeon. And he said that He's been asked a number of questions, and he said, assuming the leg heals without infection, because that was one of the main worries, is that any soil or dirt or anything that gets in the, or whatever, gets in the wound, there's a chance, high risk of infection. So the fact that they got him into surgery straight away was a massive deal.
Ah, right.
So obviously, providing there's no complications with the actual leg and that heals without infection, you've also got to consider the other fractures, because he's got pins in his foot and his ankle to hold them together as well. So his conclusion of the matter was that he thinks he'll walk again, he thinks he'll play again, and he maybe will even compete again. But you got to give it at least 12 months. So,
but he's not working on target, is he? This PJ?
No, no.
Well, thank God for that. We need someone who's been doing it since birth, really, don't we? That's some standing.
Some standing, yeah. Standing PGA pro, yeah. No, but it was, I think the comparison against the American football was good to show that the how complicated these type of breaks are. He's got a bar in his leg now, Tiger, to the reads. And
has he ever had any wouldn't have had no pins or bars, would he, off his other surgeries on his leg?
The only, the only knee injuries that we remember was back then. I think they were just normal surgeries. There was no replacements or anything.
No breaks or nothing. It's just, yeah.
Just torn ligaments and things. I don't think there's ever been actually breaks. Could be wrong. We could fact check that. But I think it's just a long drawn out wait.
So did that American footballer play American football again?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't look into him specifically. I just pulled out the.
But he had 17 surgeries after it. Not messing about that, is it?
No, not messing about. And as an American footballer, I don't know what position he played, but he'll be one of the highest paid sports people out there, won't he? Because they get a lot of money. So he would have got the best treatment out there, you would have expected. So,
well, yeah, whatever club he's attached to would have. They pay to get them because they're costing them money by not playing, isn't
it? They made sure, 100%. So it's one of them. It's heartbreaking, isn't it? Because as much as we were glad that he's okay, the golfer in us and the selfishness in us is like, when are we going to see him back? And I know that's not a question for now. We just want to make sure that he's okay, but you still want to see him back, don't you? And it's like,
1,000,000%. Even if he goes and plays the Kirby Open or something, like, I just want to see him play golf again, and I want to see him win again. Even if he wins the club champs or something.
I know. But great tribute by everyone this week, wasn't it?
Unbelievable.
Paying that tribute to him, and we'll come on to that later when we review the WGC Championship. But for now, all we can do is hope that Tiger gets back to his best.
Thoughts, isn't he? Like the golfing world was, even people outside the golfing world were messaging me on this one.
Yeah, definitely.
People phoning me, making sure that was all right, making sure I wasn't on the ledge and stuff.
Got to worry about you sometimes, Kev.
Yeah.
But in other golf news, moving on from Tiger, the RNA have said that they're going to revise the amateur status rules to give greater financial support that's required in the amateur game.
Well, it's about time, because these are, like, you're still, petrol's not free, accommodation isn't free, and traveling around isn't free. So at the end of the day, and then you've got to pay to get in the tournament. You're a kid, you don't work. Like, the families, it gives more money into the grassroots, and it's going to make better players, isn't it?
Well, it does, and it's not like a team sport where if you're an amateur football player, you're in with the team, so the club will pay for everything at that lower league, like grassroots football. So if you played for Everton Football Club, for example, at the under-12s, 14s, 16s age, everything's paid for by the club. All your travel's paid for to and fro. You've got the practice facilities. You've got the top coaches all paid for by the club. But an individual sport like golf, they don't have that help and support. It's literally the financial burden is on the parents. It's on the family members.
Exactly.
And if you do get help elsewhere, then you're breaking the rules for the amateur game and potentially could get banned from the sport. So
remember the stupid Tiger Woods one where, who was it? Arnold Palmer? Or
Arnold Palmer. Talk about Arnold Palmer. We've got the Invitational this week, haven't we?
Yeah.
He paid for a meal for him. I think it's $20, he accepted it. He let him pay for his meal, and the NCAA at the time suspended him for a week to show that he was doing something.
Tiger.
Suspended Tiger from playing for a week. Yeah,
and you know,
Tiger's not come out and said this, but sources close to him have said that that's one of the reasons he didn't complete his full four-year college degree and turn professional. Obviously, other factors like the money that was getting thrown at him from Nike and Titleist and things like that. But
millions knocking about and stuff.
Yeah, that's obviously got something to do with it. But he was really annoyed with the politics of it all and how...
Yeah, then, so what year is that then? 96, 95, 96? And yeah, till 2021 to get that changed. That is ridiculous.
Well, the NCAA rules are even more stringent. I mean, I think the rule in you can't pick up prize funds of over £500 or something in the RNA in the English game as an amateur, but in the NCAA, in the college game, you can't get no help. But again, if you're in an NCAA college school, then that's going to be paid for and provided for the majority of the time by the college, your travel, your coaching, everything. That's why the college setup is so good. And you see a lot of players graduate from the college setup straight into the Corn Ferry and then onto the PGA Tour. The likes of your Schefflers, your Morikawas, even the English lad doing over there, Fitzpatrick, and done it.
But you've got to remember, it's all well and good being part of a college, being part of the England setup. Like we had that Ewan Ferguson being part of the Scottish setup, getting flew everywhere. It's not really about them, is it? It's more about the people that... Well, it doesn't that class of sponsorship then if they're paying, if the England Golf Association Union is paying?
Well, no, because it's government funded, isn't it? So it's not private investments as such. So they're not being privately supported by somebody. And again, I don't know the rules exactly, but I would assume that the reason that they've got that type of rule in is so they haven't got an unfair advantage. But in turn, all that you're doing is giving an unfair advantage to the guys who get picked at the national level.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's something that's been that we've been crying out for a while in the amateur game, I think, because if you want the best players in the amateur game who are not in that England setup and don't have that financial support to be travelled around the world or the Scottish setup or wherever they are, you do need to allow them to get some financial support in order so they can fly to Australia for the Australian amateurs, so they can fly all around the world to play these big amateur events. And then if they're playing in these big amateur events, they're going to get more amateur ranking points and then put themselves in a stronger position to make that national setup.
More experience, in it, more everything. It's a better all around. I remember a story years ago of Bobby Charlton getting a hole in one at some sort of golf day. And then and the prize was a car, and to accept it, he had to turn pro. So he was like, you know what I mean? Took a turn pro, and then he's
turn pro. Yeah.
Fact check, maybe.
I was going to say, yeah. Bobby Charlton, the golf pro.
I think, do you know what? I think I remember when we used to play the Alex Ferguson golf day. I think I remember Alex Ferguson saying the story about it.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past
him. If that's wrong, blame Alex Ferguson.
We'll go with that. It's good that they're doing something to help the game for once. Definitely. rather than bringing distance rules out that are hindering the game. So it's good to see.
No, it is definitely. And it's well overdue.
Well overdue. One thing that is overdue is me and you getting back on that golf course. But we can officially say we will be playing golf this month now.
Ah, because it's March, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. Where did February go, by the way? Honestly, where did it go?
I know. It's always a short month, isn't it? Just whizzes by. Wow. Back. Yeah.
But I mean, sure, to feel like it was January yesterday. Wow.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah, we'll be back on the golf course at the end of this month, the 29th of March.
I'm getting an advent calendar.
Like you count down to Christmas.
I'm going
to
eat the chocolate every day until it's... in fact, I can't even have chocolate. It's Lent.
Lent, yeah. There you go. How are you getting on with your Lent?
Well, I give up like 10 things and I've got like two that I haven't broke.
I've given up three and so far so good for me. I'm still making excuses about not going out and doing my exercise, but the other two takeaways and fizzy drinks, I'm doing well.
Nice. Well, I've had one takeaway, I've had one fizzy drink, and I've had one scoop of Nicola's chocolate thing that she had. So I've still got a couple of things left. Oh, I've had a couple of beers as well. I've basically fucked it. Well, I'm still keeping it going, even though I've had them couple of slip-ups. I'm not indulging.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm still trying to stay on track as much as you can.
Yeah, yeah. Might make it more of a weekday Lent thing.
Yeah, weekends are too hard, aren't they? Yeah. Especially when we start playing golf again and you just want to...
Especially when the golf's on, the weather's lovely, you just want to have a little corona, do you know what I mean?
That's been the hardest part about all of this, this last weekend, is being it's been perfect golf weather.
Golf, and I mean perfect. Oh my God.
As if we're not allowed to play golf when the sun is cracking the flags. Even now, looking outside, the sun is cracking the flags.
It's a joke, isn't it?
It is. It is. But we'll be there. We'll be there soon.
We'll be there soon, sure.
We will. We will. But on to the golf this week. Kevin, four tournaments to review. It's been a non-stop. We didn't get to watch much of it. We only got to watch the WGC in full. But the other three events that we'll touch on first, the Puerto Rico Open, the last one Tony Finau won.
Yeah, and Victor Hovland won this one as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
I say I didn't really watch much of it. I've seen a couple of highlights of Grace's finish. Some finish that to
Eagle
win.
Eagle birdie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eagle birdie. Shot a bogey 366. To win by one over Johnny Vegas.
Yeah, and the, even the prize money there shows you the difference in getting into them WGC events. He won 540 grand there compared to 1.8 million for Morikawa. So it's like, that's what? Four times as much, basically, nearly.
Yeah, it is. And it was an emotional win for Grace as well because he lost his father last month to COVID, didn't he? And
yeah,
you can see that when he'd finished looking up to the sky and things. But that's his second PGA Tour victory. He first won his first victory, his maiden victory in 2016. So it's been a long time coming, a 5 years since he last won. But you always see that, don't you? There's always like a Harris English done it as well, didn't he? Harris English went 5 or 6 years, a bit of a gap. It just shows how difficult it is to win on the PGA Tour.
It's a tough school. It's a tough school. And I'm not taking anything away from Grace, but none of the big boys were there, so it's like it's a PGA Tour victory.
Yeah, it's
so like Finau really like hasn't won on the PGA Tour.
We still know he's not giving him that now. I thought he was coming at it this weekend again. We'll come on to it, but he just.
Well, I feel a bit sorry for Jonathan Vegas. I like him. He finished second. He finished second in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
boss seems like a boss man, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah. Well, they're former President Cup partners. Then Johnny Vegas and Brendan Grace.
Sick, yeah.
So it was good to see
little one and two.
Little one and two. Yeah, sure. Flying the international flag on the PGA Tour. Yeah, but no, another good victory. He's got his place this week in the Arnold Palmer Invitational, Grace. So be good to see if now he is with the more established top players in the world, to see how he gets on, see if he can keep that current form.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then moving on, we had Phil Mickelson return to the Champions Tour at the Collegard Classic.
Why is he not going to put and probably travel and all that? He's good enough to be playing in Puerto Rico and these PGA Tour events if he's going to be trying to win majors. And he's too good, isn't he?
He is too good, yeah. He is too good. I don't know, because he does float in between them, doesn't he? In and out, and it's just, I don't know whether this was another last-minute one, but they're all three-day events, aren't they? And it's a shorter course, so is he just trying to get his game?
If you want to be playing, you don't want to be playing three-day events and then bobbing into four-day majors, do you? You want to be getting a taste of the real deal.
Yeah, and he has been struggling of late, hasn't he? He's not making many cuts, and if he is, he's making them on the button and then falling off, so... be interesting to see what comes with Phil Mickelson, but he did pay his respects to Tiger. He had red and black on, didn't he, to his friends?
Yeah, brilliant.
Another one doing that, but he lost his 100% record, so he was two for two, wasn't he, on the tour? He ended up finishing tied 20th, 4 under. It was actually Kevin Sutherland who won. He won by 2 shots. He saw off a chasing pack that included Mike Weir, Steve Stricker, Jerry Kelly, Jimenez, David Toms and Mark O'Meara.
Well, there's a straightaway, and a person that you can march it up to from the seniors to the PGA Tour is Steve Stricker, because he'll be playing this week, the Ryder Cup captain, and he's come, what, third there or second?
Yeah.
And then you can see straight away once he gets put into a slightly diluted field this week, how he gets on. So
yeah, definitely. Well, was it Steve Stricker the couple of weeks back?
No, he's flying.
Yeah, that was at the... The waste management.
Yeah.
With waste management, wasn't it? And Steve Stricker was leading after 2 rounds or one back or something.
Yeah. Remember, our friend James, he said, is it normal for Steve Stricker to be up the top of the leaderboard like he's 52 or something?
Yeah.
He's like, really... no, bud, that is not normal.
That's definitely not normal, no. But yeah, and then we had the first official tournament on the LPGA Tour. Now, we had the Tournament of Champions a couple of weeks back, but Gainbridge in Florida starts for the females Florida swing as well. Nelly Korda win a fourth LPGA title, won by 3 shots.
I know, and she's 22.
I know, superstar. I'll say superstar in the making. She's been around for a while, but she's always up there, isn't she? She finished third. Remember, we said that she went head-to-head with her sister, didn't we?
Yeah. You want her to win, but then you don't want her to win at the
same time. And she finished third there. And then
her sister won. Her sister won the last event, didn't she? Sister won the tournament of the champions.
Yeah, back-to-back wins for sisters, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, do you have another thing as well? The prize money, 300 grand.
Yeah, we spoke about that, didn't we, last time, yeah. Well, it's funny you should say that. We'll come on to it later. Do you know the prize fund for the Drive On Championship this week on the LPGA Tour? Do you know how much that is?
No.
$1.5 million. So Morikawa's just won.
1.8 for winning.
It's funny you should say 300 grand because he's won 300 grand more than that whole purse.
Yeah.
I know. So it just shows the difference in the levels between the male and the female game again.
Yeah.
But that's one good thing about Modest Golf as well. Modest Golf are trying to even that up with the news that they're having a joint event again, aren't they? I think that's €2.5 million purse for that one.
Ah, nice. Well, I think even lower than that, like the 2020 tour, Chris Hansen does joint events, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's nice. It's needed. Integrated, isn't it?
It is needed, yeah, it is. Because what's the point in these women playing if they're not going to get the support financially? I seen something on the social medias around the mini tours. I can't remember for the life of me the girl's name, but she's a mini tour player.
Hannah Gore or something, wasn't it? Hannah.
Did you see it? Yeah.
I'll get the name.
So what she said is, it's 600. She played in the tournament, a $600 entry fee, and then when you consider the amount that you've got to spend on your food and your board and your travel, second place received £1,000. So you can play your best for 4 days and finish second place in a mini tour tournament. On the women's tour and lose money.
Exactly.
Why would you do that? What's the financial benefit for somebody who wants to back the women and support them? What financial benefit do they get? Because it's not like they get a lot of exposure on the mini tours either, is there?
No, exactly.
For publicity and things. So
yeah. Hannah Gregg, her name was.
Hannah Gregg, yeah. So yeah. A lot more work needs to be done, but it's good to see that. I know Sky Sports have got a lot of inclusion initiatives for the women's game and what Modest Golf are doing. And like you say, Chris Hansen's 2020 tour as well. So watch this space. And as I say, we'll back it all the way, won't we?
Definitely. I'll say it's quite fitting that the sisters have won back-to-back events, Nelly and Jessica Korda, because it was the first time that had been done since Annika and Charlotte had done it in 2000.
It
was Annika's first tournament back. Washington since 2008 she played, so it's just amazing. Like, it's just a good little bit of synchronicity, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. The return of the GOAT again, another one who wore red and black on Sunday for Tiger. Amazing to see. Do you know that in her career she made 298 cuts out of 307 starts?
Consist-ten-C alert.
97.1% of cuts made in her career, and then she made the cut again this week, with a bit of controversy, weren't there?
Mate, like, obviously you can, it's mad, another thing about the rules of golf again, the rules official can come and give you the penalty, and then if they get it wrong, there's no, like, they can't take the shots back off you, or like, make you go and replay it, because what happened with Sorenston, she had, it was on the fifth, a ball was under the gate, and the rules official come over and told her to take an unplayable to get relief. So she did, blah, blah, went down the hole, made a triple. And Dan Maselli caught up with her on the following hole to apologise for the mistake that he'd made, and said that it was an immovable obstruction, and she could have actually opened the gate and played the shot.
And what did she end up doing on the hole?
She made a triple.
How did she react to that when he came over?
You know what? She actually wasn't that bothered. She just said,
class.
The guy was saying, this is going to hurt me. It's eating me up inside. I'm so sorry. And she said, listen, please don't feel that way. I appreciate it. And then he went, it won't happen. I won't make that mistake again. So it was all love in the end.
Yeah, I mean,
she must be getting some sort of big payday to be just to be there, mustn't she? Yeah, she's not bothered by a triple.
definitely. But no,
Bryson would have squashed his head.
I was thinking the exact same. Can you imagine if somebody like Bryson got on top of that and they called God. That? He'd have stood there, wouldn't he, and had a head off with the rules official. Or Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed would have been better.
Yeah, it would have been great if it happened to Reed, though, wouldn't it?
I knew you'd have a bit of that. But now another good tournament to start. And as I say, the LPGA tour underway, as is the Seniors Tour Championship as well, catching up with the
PGA. Going forward now, are we going to review every tour?
I think so, yeah. I mean, we don't have to go on for so long, but we'll just see what people think. Little touch on it. I mean, yeah, with the LPGA tour.
I suppose with a podcast, we give out golf news, don't we? So why wouldn't we?
I think this week's a bit different because we've had two PGA Tour events and we've had the Champions Tour events as well. So there's four tournaments. There wouldn't normally be this many, but we'll primarily focus on the WGC event, which we're going to now.
It's going to be great when the Euro Pro's back, Challenger's back, Korn Ferry's back, the Metro Tour's back.
We'll need 2 hours. I take a wobble after an hour, don't I? So I don't know how that's going to go. But yeah, 47 of the top 50 players in the world were there this week, WGC event. I did make, I was vocal about it, wasn't I? I don't like the format.
Yeah.
The tournament did surprise me. I really enjoyed watching it, but I still think the format needs to change, man.
Mate, you've got to earn your stripes. You can't just be Jordan. You just want Jordan Spieth in it, but he's top 60. Well, he's not in there, unlucky.
Yeah, I just think
he wants to go and why doesn't he go and play on the Australian tour and try and get top two and get into it?
There you go, exactly. You open that field up, then you get a top, then the top five from the Australian tour can play, or the Australasian tour, and then obviously the top five from the Sunshine tour, and so on, the Asian tour, the Japan tour. You get the top five and you give them more people opportunity, and then you can stretch it out to the top 70. In the world, and then Big Jordan gets his chance, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, you know what? You can eat like the format is shown in the attitude of the players, of course, I think, as well. And I don't know if it's because that they were in Miami as well, and there's no, or Florida, sorry, and there's no restrictions. But like, I just seen the buzz on social media with like after the rounds, like Neiman was like skateboarding around and just seemed like buzzing with a few mates and stuff. Like, your mate Bobby McIntyre was flying around, like. Ice cream parlors and like driving around the cities and stuff, and I just thought there was a different feel because taking it's like it guaranteed money in it. Like you come last and you guaranteed money.
Yeah, it is. It's I know what you're saying, and again that goes back to the format, doesn't it? Of how serious are these guys taking it? Obviously, a WGC event, everybody wants to win it, but after day one, if you're 3 or 4, so take Tommy Fleetwood for example, 3 over after day one, and the leader was. Was it 7 under, leading 8 under after day one, maybe? 11 shots back. The likelihood is you're not going to win that tournament. So you know you're going to get a payday. How serious, and I'm not saying Tommy does this, but how serious is a player going to be taking the rest of the event?
Every shot's another couple of thousand, isn't it? Like, and the money, he's taking it seriously to come, surely.
But I just mean from a winning perspective, they go out and play, like we say, with these type of players, top 20, top 30 in the world, they don't turn up to events just to make up the numbers. They want to win. So,
definitely.
And I'm not saying that they can't go 64, 64, 64 and win, because Cantley nearly done it the other week. So they are capable of doing it, but it just makes you wonder, doesn't it? The format, does that make some people think, oh, do you know what? I'm getting paid anyway, so I'll take my foot off the gas. Whereas if you shoot 3 over on day one or 4 over on day one and you're thinking the cut level par, you know that you've got to, you can't think about, oh, what am I going to do Saturday, Sunday? Because there mightn't be a Saturday, Sunday there. So just adds that pressure.
It's interesting. It's all with the player's attitude, because if you look at, and it's quite fitting that we had the TaylorMade, Dan Morris from TaylorMade on last week talking about getting Dustin Johnson into the Sim 2, because I think, again, he's started off the tournament with the Sim 2, and then by the Saturday, he had the Sim 1 back in.
I know.
So, and he was like, would you do that in the Masters? Would you do that in a major championship, swap equipment mid-round? Like, or would he be testing at that sort of level? Like, it's, if you guaranteed money, I know it doesn't matter to Dustin Johnson really, but
yeah, No, but you're right.
The attitude of the whole tournament felt different, didn't it?
Well, the more tournament DJ plays the way he has the last couple. I mean, top 10 last week, so it wasn't terrible. But the five over, I think, did he finish on the event this week? So it's not the DJ that we're used to seeing since COVID, the return since COVID lockdown, really. Yeah. DJ's completely dominated, hasn't he? And being world number one, and everybody said that, but we're just starting to see a few vulnerabilities in his game now, aren't we? And I don't know whether that was just because these last two courses have been difficult courses.
Yeah.
Tee to green. If you're missing certain shots, certain ways in certain places, then you're going to get punished for it. And that showed this week.
And the good thing about a cut as well is that if you are having a bad week, like for instance, Dustin Johnson there, when it comes to Saturday, he's out practicing. So really, that Saturday to him, I think, is, right, I've missed the cut. Let's swap driver back to my old driver and we'll go and practice the next 2 days and just treat it as a practice, it seems. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I don't know, it's...
Well, this goes back to this again. I'll say it again, and I don't want to bore people, but this goes back to the format, doesn't it?
Mark Format Lachlan.
I'll leave it there on the format because we'll move on from the format. But no, I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's again same example as I gave about Tommy before. If he's 2 days in and he knows he's not in a position to win the tournament, is he going out for the next 2 days to trial? Because it's Ryder Cup year. He knows that. He's going to be in that Ryder Cup team. It's going to take a miracle for him not to be in that Ryder Cup team. So he's not looking at FedEx points and looking at ways to get into the Open and to qualify for different tournaments. He's already in there. And this format, it just takes away the opportunities on a Ryder Cup year for somebody like a Spieth to get
them. Yeah, I see what you mean. I don't want to keep talking about the other opportunities.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just about winning. It's about getting more points, FedEx points, getting more money behind you. Again, you play well at these type of events, then you know it can set up the rest of your season.
Well, look, format or no format, take nothing away from Colin Morikawa.
Wowza, what a boy!
Who is he? Just being like born out of Tiger? Like, what is going on there?
I'd never seen someone as composed on a Sunday as the boy. He just didn't miss a shot, did he?
He didn't blink. He didn't off blink. He didn't miss a shot. He was still going for the par fives in two. There was no laying up about him. He was going for the 12th, not a bother on him. He was just literally no fear. And
he was chasing birdies, wasn't he? He wasn't
so composed, wasn't he?
There was nothing about his game, which the only shot that I seen him hit, which was a bit of a safety shot, was that bunker shot on 18, his second to last shot of the tournament, where he just played the percentages and just went, I'll take a bogey and I've got a 3-shot lead. But that was the only conservative shot I seen him play on that Sunday, especially back nine. It was just going for everything, wasn't he?
You mean his chip from the side?
Sorry, he didn't go in the bunker.
Yeah. Well, that... Speaking of from personally, because you had that the bogey boys bet on, didn't you?
that was
a heart in mouth thinking, why has he given himself a 20-footer for the money, basically, wasn't it?
Does he not know that we've got a bet on? We need this par to go in, otherwise we don't win the money and then we can't give away the driver.
talk about
keeping your composure. I didn't keep me composure when I seen that shit there. I was like, what are you doing?
Hey, but look, 18 months into your PGA Tour career, 41 events, 4 wins, a major, a WGC, 24 years of age. Like Doherty was saying, it's hard to say the next Tiger, but the next Tiger.
You've got to back him, haven't you? It's all about them majors, isn't it? With the way the golf game is now and how the quality of players that are coming through, you're not going to see another 82 wins, I don't think.
Well, once you've got one major, you're flying then, aren't you?
I think majors, I think he can definitely get double figures majors, yeah. And you'll always be compared, won't he? Definitely. But I think, do you think 82 PGA Tour wins?
It's hard to see, isn't it?
It is, especially given the talent.
Hey, but you got to remember, I bet you all the oldies were saying Snead, 82 will never get beaten. That won't happen. And then this young kid comes out of nowhere and like...
Yeah.
They come, don't they? They come. Yeah. Records are there to be broken.
Yeah. And I don't see anything in his game which would say he can't go to win 10 times a year.
No, exactly. Well, I've seen that he's not the longest, is he?
Well, no, that's it. That's what I was going to come on to now. A few stats from the tournament. He was actually 60th out of the 72 players in the field in driving distance. 285 yards.
I see he went up to Justin Thomas like when he first came onto PGA Tour and was worried about his speed, his swing speed. And Justin Thomas just said to him, listen, mate, how did you get here? How have you got yourself here? He's like, polish what you've got. Like, don't try and like reinvent the wheel sort of thing. Just get on with it and do you and keep going. Focus on your strengths.
It's amazing.
And he's took that on board.
That's good to see, definitely. Fifth in driving accuracy, was he at 47 out of 56 fairways?
Good.
So it just shows, even though he's a bit further back than these players, he's in position a lot more times. And I don't think there's many better iron players than Morikawa on tour.
No.
I don't think you can underestimate what it means to be an iron player, because there was a lot of 200, 180, 170 yards into the greens this week, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's one of them as well. If you haven't got the length, like, I think it was it 16, and you could see Bryson's line that he was taking. He's going for that bunker.
Yeah.
The 320 carry, he's going for that greenside bunker, and then he puts it in the water. I think he put it in the water twice out of the 4 days. It's just, once you haven't got that length, it takes everything out. If you can hit the fairway with that little cut that Morikawa hit, it's robotic, isn't it?
Well, that's perfect, because you talked there about Bryson. He's taking on very risky lines where it's got to be perfect. And his swing's not in balance, is it? You can see the way he's swinging it. Timing's got to be perfect. Yeah, when he catches them, it's going to go a mile. But timing's slightly off and he's slightly offline. He's going to find himself in trouble more times than not. Whereas a Morikawa could be 60 yards further back than him, but more times than not, is going to be in the fairway in a position. And more, in my opinion, Morikawa is a better iron player than Bryson anyway.
He is. No, definitely.
So it's, and it goes to show, because of those 47 out of 56 fairways that he's hit, he was second in greens in regulation. He had 56 out of 72 greens all week. And we know how fiddly that course was. He missed it in the wrong position. We were seeing sevens and eights everywhere, weren't we?
Oh, it was... There were so many triples and doubles, but then there were so many holeouts as well. It was such a strange course.
I love the course layout, mate. Loved it, because you got punished for your bad shots and you got rewarded for your good shots. And I love a golf course that does that. And I think that goes to show, because 40% of the field were over par and the winner was 18 under. So it shows that if you're not playing well, you're going to be a plus for the tournament. You're going to be in and around level par, over par for each round. But if you are playing well, you're hitting fairways, you're hitting greens, you're going to see that birdie. And that goes to show, because he led the field in strokes gained, tee to green. And I think pretty similar to the Genesis last week, it was about how you get from tee to green and then rely on the putter. Whoever was the better putter was going to win.
I know, but like, see the way them greens are rolling a foot slower than the PGA Tour average. Like,
oh, was they?
For the they usually have them set up, and that was because if it was landing on some of them peaks and some of them things, it was rolling off anyway. Even though they were slower, and then there was no grab. Like, I seen Cam Smith on one of the holes on the Saturday. He pitched it on the green perfect and it just started moving dead slow. And there's like, oh, this is going to go this. And it went all the way down and into the water. And I'm like, he's getting a bit too punished there. And I know I'm probably a bit more biased towards him wanting to stay on the green because I had him in my picks. But like,
I was going to say, yeah. Yeah, I noticed the way you noticed that one.
I kept flicking between. I was doing a few other things and I'd flick the golf back on, flick it back on. I think I flicked it on three times and every time there's a ball landing in the water and every time it was him.
He did. He had a bad, was it a bad Saturday, wasn't it?
Saturday, yeah. I think he was five over.
Yeah, yeah. And that killed his chances because I was worried at first thinking, oh, here's Kev getting a win this.
I know.
I wasn't happy, to be fair, but, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, you're right. It was a bit punishing, and you can imagine if they'd have got those greens rolling a bit faster, you did see a lot where they were getting them onto the ledges and they were coming back to the feet.
You don't want to see, I know it makes it more difficult, but you don't really want to see that.
I don't know. I do like to see that, mate, but I'm more of a short game man. I like the imagination, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do like the imagination around the greens. I'll be honest, I don't like it when you play a decent chip and it does come back to your feet. I think that's too harsh. So the undulations maybe are a bit too severe. But
that happened to Morikawa on the second, didn't it, yesterday? It was come back and all the way back down to like where he was, basically.
Exactly.
Well, hey, speaking of short game, right? It's amazing. Like, obviously, Morikawa's 24, and like he's obviously tried to get that advice off JT, didn't he, going about the swing speed.
Yeah.
And then he spoke there in his interview about getting a lesson off Marco Mira on his putting, changing his putting grip from the claw to like the, I don't know what he called it, but it's like Tommy's, no, it's like
Yeah, he called it, what was it, the clutch grip or something like
the
that.
The clutch, yeah, I know, but he changed it anyway. Marco Mira gave him a lesson on that. And then he said Paul Eisinger saved his life out there with a chipping lesson. So it's amazing that he's at that level, but he's only, and you still got to remember, he's only 18 months into his career, so he's still hungry to learn and take advice.
That's increased my respect for him, that, because somebody who's willing to go to these veteran pros who've exactly. been there, done it, and they're willing to listen, you wouldn't find like a stubborn bastard like Patrick Reed going over and trying to get that information off them, would you? He'd be like, I'm all about myself, and Bryson as well, I'm doing it my way or the highway.
Yeah, do you know what's a funny thing about Patrick Reed? When he comes straight out of college, you ever remember him saying that he's a top five golfer in the world?
No.
He come out of straight out of college saying he's a top five golfer, and then everyone's like, and he got real flack for that. He got real like lots of shit for it on social media, on everything. He got battered, and then really, if someone else come out of college now saying it and a bit more likable, it's like, go on.
Yeah, I'm backing you.
Say
yeah.
that, we want that. Because he's been hated from day one, hasn't he?
He has though, hasn't he?
I think the same time when Reed came out and said that, Poulter came out and said, on his day, it's him and Tiger, that's it. And he didn't get as much flack as Reed saying that he's a top five golfer. I love that, you know.
Well, then, because Tiger's in that interview, didn't he, with that famous one?
And he goes, you'll learn at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Tiger says it, and you're all like, go on, Tiger, read it.
Exactly, yeah. Well, he's like, I feel like I want to... He's like, I think it's a bit of a statement to say you're going to come out here and win. He's like second's like top really 10's good. Like good out here. And he's like, well, yeah. I think second sucks and third's even worse. Like, if I'm not going to turn up thinking I'm going to win, there's no point. And then he goes, you'll learn.
That's it, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, just before we moved on from the WGC, I know we spoke about... one of the up-and-coming superstars there. I just wanted to touch on another two, Victor Hovland and Scottie Scheffler. Both fought it out for Rookie of the Year. Scheffler got it last year, Rookie of the Year on the PGA Tour. But again, similar statistics to Morikawa. Just two standout moments for me for both of them, which has probably cost them the tournament. Firstly, Hovland making it 8 on the 9th hole on day 2.
Made a hash of it, didn't he?
Quadruple, yeah. He's really unlucky because when that goes in the bunker to go up against the lip and then you're sort of chasing it, then aren't you? And then for it to go right back over the other side and straight into the bush again, and then he has to take an unplayable. Done well to get up and down, to be fair.
I know. His bush play was on form, though, wasn't it, in the final round?
See, that up and down was unbelievable, where he held the club back and then just pushed through with it.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable, that. That was really, well, that was our 16, was it? That was on 16, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, unbelievable stuff. But yeah, again, we talk about the driving distance for Hovland. We'll speak about him first. Very similar to Morikawa. 61st in driving distance, just 1 yard behind Morikawa at 284. He had 43 out of 56 fairways. And he had the same amount of greens in regulation, 56 out of 72. And he was second in strokes gained tee to green. So again, it just shows you from tee to green, he comes second in the tournament, didn't he? So, and he's second in strokes gained, and then Morikawa comes first in the tournament, and he's first in strokes gained tee to green. So,
well, there you go, yeah.
It shows it was that type of tournament. And again, Scottie Scheffler, it was that on 16, the final day, he was in contention. He knocks that tee shot into the water and makes a double bogey.
Yeah.
Again, but driving distance is a bit different. He hits it a bit farther than those two. He was 15th in driving distance at 305 yards. But again, 46 out of 56 fairways, 55 out of 72 greens, and he was 5th overall in strokes gained tee to green.
He gives it a good old smack, doesn't he, Scheffler? He's big, and he's a big boy as well. I didn't realize how big he was. Or was that just that big? Did he get that T-shirt out of the shop and there's no sizes left? See how big it was on him.
He's
like, shit, I need the red T-shirt. And went and bought the quadruple XL.
Probably would have fitted me, that.
I was actually going to say, did you lend them it? But I didn't want it.
Oh, yeah. But no, I think when you talk about the change of the tide, obviously we had that when Justin Thomas came through with Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth, and they all come through together.
Fowler.
Fowler. And then I think this it's obviously, you know, they've been around and they've already winners on tour and major winners in Morikawa and stuff. But I just think that these are the next crop coming through and they're going to dominate the game, I think, over the next couple of years. Especially when you consider how good they are from tee to green. And they're not chasing distance. Well, it doesn't seem to be chasing distance. They're just playing the game for what it is. And it's a lot more to it than just distance, isn't it?
Yeah, well, like we've said it every week, twice since we've been doing the six months, this podcast, twice as the longest hitter won.
Yeah. Well, this week, one of the shortest.
Exactly.
There's only 12 people with the shorter distance average than them.
Exactly.
So there's an unbelievable tournament. I hope to see this on the calendars more because I really enjoyed it. I know what you're saying about the undulations and it can be quite difficult and things, but I did really enjoy the fact that...
I'm not saying I didn't. Mine was more of a Cameron Smith thing.
A bit bitter that you didn't get a few more points on the order of merit.
Hey, what did I say last week, though? I said, I wonder if they'll keep the tournament at this concession then in the Florida swing, and I bet you they do.
They'll have to now because it was quite successful.
And it was quite what successful. Else did I say? What did I say about Morikawa? As soon as the fans get back, he'll win again.
Quite the opposite, Kevin. Quite the opposite. When the fans come back, he will never win again. Mark my words.
What fuck am I talking about there?
I have no idea what you're talking about, mate.
You've got every right to go and look for a new partner there.
Oh, but what an event, and it was perfect really for the lead up to the Masters in Augusta, because even Horschel said it was like similar to Augusta, where you've got the undulations, obviously not as difficult as we all know, but you have to be really clever about your misses, and that showed as well, because Billy Horschel and Koepka, out of the top 10, were the only couple who didn't have double bogeys.
Yeah,
that bogey was the worst score, so if you're limiting your mistakes, you're always going to be up there or thereabouts on a course like that, aren't you?
Well, it just shows you. I don't know how many holeouts there was, but on the first 2 days, there was 14 triples or worse. That's like club-level golf, isn't it?
That's our level golf.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sunday medal, Saturday medal, tournament golf, that for us.
Exactly. Speaking of the Masters and speaking of golf tournaments in general, my girlfriend was sitting there and she goes, it was getting to the back nine on Sunday, and she's like, oh, so this really gets good now, and you know who's going to win. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, but it starts on Thursday. I was like, yeah. And she's like, Thursday morning. And I was like, yeah. She's like, why? And I was like, I actually can't answer that, to be honest. I don't know why it is. But then I started looking into it. And it used to be, and up until the Masters in 1934, it used to be 72 holes, but it was 3 days, and it was a 36-hole Saturday. And then he used to play it, but Bobby Jones changed it, and the idea of changing it is to, because he wanted to stick a few different events in the middle of the Masters tournament and make it more fun for the patrons to come. And that's why the Masters got such a good spectator feel about it. There was like an approach putting contest on the putting green. There was an iron contest. There was a driving contest, all in between the things. So to stretch it out over the 4 days, and they felt it was unfair on people who didn't play their best golf over 36 holes. So it was weird that it changed back then, wasn't it?
I always thought it was just 72 holes. Didn't know there was a difference.
Yeah, it was 72 holes still, but it was
oh, it was the days. Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah.
So, but then I was trying to look further to see, was it ever just one round or anything like that, but I couldn't actually find anything dating back, because this is 1934, yeah. So...
I suppose on that subject as well, when you think about it, were they four balls then? Because you've got to think of pace of play and how dark it gets if you're playing 36 holes on a Sunday. How many people are in the field and things like that?
I know. Well, obviously, it is an interesting. We'll look more into that, I think, because there's got to be a reason that there's 4 days. Because it is, like, when she said it to me, I was thinking, I haven't got a clue, you know. Look.
Just have a super Sunday golf take.
She was like, 4 days out the week is golf. That's like half your life. And I was like, well, yeah. Like, when you put it like that, it's even better.
Yeah, and we do the range on a Monday, we play on a Tuesday, we range on a Wednesday, so literally it is all of our life.
I know, I was like, golf is life.
Talk about golf widows, don't they? And that's what they say, innit? You go missing, yeah. Right, as promised on our social media story yesterday, we done a bit of a draw, game, prize, raffle, whatever you want to call it. So the final five groups in the tournament were then selected via a vote. So whoever won that vote was then a £20 bet was placed, and providing that bet won, we agreed to give away a brand new driver. So now, as good to
our we did not decide anything. You just, I didn't look at my phone for 4 hours and you went mad.
Got a bit generous on the Sunday. So anyway, true to our word, it's what we're going to do. So first of all of our Patreon members, they all voted. So as a Patreon member and a supporter of the podcast, you'll also be given an additional entry. So they get two bites at the cherry, as they say. Everybody else will be given a number automatically generated from the odds that they voted in, which goes from one right up to 129.
Yeah.
And then we've got, that includes the additional 12 votes for the Patreon members as well. So anything you want to say before we do the
Just draft? That's how it's going to go from now on. If the bet wins every week, we're going to do that, and the Patreon get two stabs at it.
So. Yeah. And if you want to become a Patreon member, you get, as we say, each week you get early access to the podcast and early access to the interviews and the video for to enhance that viewing experience. So you can just go through the link in our bio, go to the link that says become a Patreon, follow the steps. It's just like setting up any social media account. Put your card details in and it's £4 a month on a running subscription.
So pound a week, innit?
So without further ado, Kevin, are you ready to do this number? See which one wins? 56.
56.
Let's have a look. Who's that? Which one? 56. Oh my God, Liam Connolly.
No way.
Well done, Liam. Number 56 was Liam Connolly. So congratulations, Liam. That, you know. We will do. He's actually a Patreon.
No way.
So well done, Liam. Won a brand new driver.
Sick.
Unbelievable.
Oh my God.
We'll be doing this every week. And yeah, for anybody that wants to get involved, all you need to do is click the vote button on the social media when we release them. And then we'll be putting a £20 bet out of our own money, by the way. So if the bet loses,
we will be backing it personally. If every week on, we fucking didn't can't do it, man. I
can't believe we didn't do that. But every week we'll be backing it. So if the bet loses, it's just money that comes out of our pocket. If the bet wins, you entered into a free prize draw to win a prize, and we'll be giving away brand new driver.
Going forward, see how it goes. That'll probably be the only bet that'll win.
We'll see. But anyway, a bit of fun. Make sure you listen to the
podcast. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, and enjoy the rest of the show.
So what I've got for you this week, it's my turn of the Get It Wrong quiz.
The quick fire questions.
Quick fire questions.
I had you off last week, didn't I?
You've had me off the whole time. I had myself off in the first one.
No, I'm looking forward to this, yeah, because we changed it up a bit. It was a bit unfair on you last week, wasn't it? Because I changed the rules, but let's see how I get on. Are we just going five again?
Five questions, yeah.
Right, go on, I'm ready.
So, spell shop.
S-H-O-T.
Shop.
Yeah, S-H-O-T.
Right, shop. Are you getting it wrong?
Yeah, because that's the point of the quiz, isn't it?
Yeah, well... Right.
Oh, but it's got to be relevant to a shop.
Basically, what I've done is I've done this thing that trick, how to trick someone into getting the wrong answer.
I just don't know how shop's relevant to golf and how it's relevant to a golf shop, do you mean?
Right. Name a golfer that has won with double L in the name.
Patrick Cantley.
Double L. Double L in the first name, won.
Yeah, so the right answer is Colin Morikawa, isn't it?
What?
But I've said Patrick Cantley, so I've got it right now.
The PGA stands for the Professional Golfers. Too slow.
Too slow.
Yes!
I just think an association in my head. I couldn't get association out of my head. I just couldn't get that. It's so difficult, that quiz, isn't it?
Who is the longest driver in the world?
Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, and then my last one was another little trick one. I'm going to do the thing on you anyway, the trick on you anyway, and you don't have to get it wrong, but just, this is just the thing what I Googled.
Go on.
Right. Spell milk.
M-I-L-K.
Spell milk.
Spell milk, right.
No, you have to get it right. It's not. This isn't a get it wrong. This is just a trick. Right, spell milk.
M-I-L-K.
Right, spell milk.
M-I-L-K.
What does a cow drink?
Water.
Hey. And the one I was trying to do before was spell shop.
S-H-O-P.
Spell shop.
S-H-O-P.
Spell shop.
S-H-O-P.
What do you do when you get to a green light?
Stop.
Do you now? Yes! So what I done was I Googled like how to make someone get the wrong answer. Them two come up and I thought, right, he's fucking getting it with them. And then I set off there and you were like, shot, shot. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Right. Right. Now that we've got that out the way, it's that time again.
It's that time again.
It's that time again, y'all. The birdie boogie bust. The birdie boogie bust. Birdie boogie bust.
Right, here we go again. Birdie Bogey Bust.
Time. I love that song. I love that song, you know.
It's amazing, isn't it? I can't get it out of my head. What's the feedback been like?
Well, Greg Evans said it's a bit cheesy, innit?
It is a bit
but cheesy. But like I was like, you've got to be cheesy, haven't you? That's what it's about, innit?
It is a bit cheesy.
Yeah. But
is that all we've had?
That's it, yeah. No one else has really said anything, but there was a good, like, good few listens on the last one, so I'm hoping that somebody's going to say something. But yeah. No feedback is good feedback, really, because no one's complaining.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's no complaints, so that's a good thing.
That's it.
We'll take cheese all day. What's your beardy, brother?
So my beardy is a bit of a funny one. Webb Simpson hit a shot into, I think it was like the 14th, and then turned around to his caddy and goes, did you just fart? Caddy goes, no. And McGinley and Doherty and that were just laughing their heads off.
Oh my God.
He could, and he was proper giggling. He couldn't get, and I started laughing. And I just thought, that was boss, that.
Oh, I missed that one.
It was so funny.
Gutted there. Oh, what a birdie.
Yeah. Did you fart?
After he hits the shot.
Yeah, straight after he looks at him. Did you just fart?
Brilliant the way they caught that.
Oh, amazing. What's your birdie then?
It's got to be the Tiger tribute, hasn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, he's come out and said, hasn't he, that it's hard to explain how touching seeing something like that is. Wow. And he just said every golfer and every fan is helping him through this difficult time. So it's obviously a very difficult time for him. We spoke about it at the beginning of the show, didn't we? And we'll speak about it till he's back. Pretty much because he is the GOAT. But I think it was a nice touch with the tribute across all tours, wasn't it?
Amazing.
Yeah, good amazing. To see.
What about... it's interesting that your birdie is that, because that sort of leads nicely onto my bus, because because my bogey is all the Adidas players not wearing red, because it was obviously like a Nike sort of advert thing. I just thought, it's fucking Tiger Woods. He transcends brand.
There's a time and a place as well, because it's not as though Adidas are struggling.
I know.
They're quite competitive, so it's not.
And Tiger uses it, like he's got the TaylorMade as part of the Adidas, like the
yeah, you're right,
the whole thing. So you think that they'd just be like, yeah, bang it on.
Well, that is strange because
it looks better that Adidas, if the Adidas did do it and fucked off the sponsorship thing and said, you know what, I know it's Nike's the red thing, but we're gonna do it anyway for the greater good. Then they would look better.
Yeah, they would have got a lot more respect, and instead it's vice versa now, isn't it? They're getting a lot of, they're getting a bogey, which is probably one of the worst things you can get in it.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But it's caused a bit of flack as well, hasn't it? I think Max Homer was getting a bit of stick and a few other players for not doing it.
Well, Max Homer turned around and said, obviously he's got a number of different sponsors that he needs to put on his clothing, and he just didn't pack a red. But he said, I know what Tiger means to me, and hopefully showed that last week when I won and he presented me the trophy at my home course. So he said that in itself is enough tribute to Tiger. I mean, I love Tiger and he's an inspiration to that. So I just think there's more to it than wearing the red top is what he said.
I know, but there's just not though, is there?
As proven by you on the podcast today. But again, Garcia as well. I mean, I don't know whether this was just a cover-up for him, but he said that he was wearing green from one Masters champion to another.
Well, it's
kind of thing
TaylorMade has cut over. Adidas have come out and made the players not do it because not one of them had red on.
I know.
So yeah, I know. That's just...
It's a lot. I think it's a bit more deeper, isn't it, than what we're seeing.
Yeah.
There's something a bit more to it now. But a rifle bogey. Well, my bogey this week... is we haven't mentioned them yet. We did mention a couple of the young starlets coming through, didn't we? And one we didn't mention was Matthew Wolfe.
Matthew,
I just think
Wolfe though
shoots an 83 and withdraws, man, and still gets paid 32 G's for it.
On the one hand, I can sort of see like shooting 12. What did he shoot? Was it 12 over?
11 over.
11 over, and then like Disneyland's just up the road. Take your 30 grand, go and have a little play out. Like it's like if you're getting free money, isn't it?
I said they weren't going to mention the format again, but it goes back to the format, doesn't it? that he can do that. Do you know, he's played absolute garbage for that day. But then you compare that to Brad Kennedy.
Yeah.
So Brad Kennedy, you're probably thinking the way I am, who's that?
About to say,
exactly. I've no idea. I've never seen him before, but he shot 81 round one. Now he could have quite easily picked up his clubs and said, you know what, that's that. But he never, he carried on and he shot 73, 69, 73. So it just shows you can pick your game up. It's not the end of the tournament. He finished tied 61st out of 72. So those finishing those 3 days at one under, and then finishing the tournament at plus eight, just shows.
If there's no actual real medical reason for you to drop out, you're fully fit and healthy and you can play the rounds. There should be, like David was saying, that he backed Matthew Wolfe in the Bogey Boys Order of Merit, and then he's backed him in the bookies as well. The first time he's ever even uttered Matthew Wolfe's words out of his mouth, like he's never said the words. And then all of a sudden he withdraws, he's getting minus 20, he's lost money. He's got the bits. he should be banned.
If there's no reasonable explanation for it and you're just pulling out because you're playing garbage, he should get a week suspension. No. And I'm being serious there. He should not be allowed to play. Yeah, I think because if he's taking a spot up, like we say, because there's only 72 players allowed to play in it, the way that this setup is, and he's taking one of them spots up to just play crap and then be back.
You shouldn't get a week's ban. You know what you should get? You should be banned from the next WGC. Then it's more financially punishing.
Yeah. Or you should give your money to charity.
Yeah.
Pay your caddy and then give the rest of the... Because why should he take a check? Is it because he's earned his right to be there? So he's earned that check? There's that argument as well.
It is.
But
I don't understand why you just fake an injury. Say me wrist's fucked or something like.
Well, he could have faked that his eyes were sore because did you see that putt?
I know. And he knocks it over.
Yeah. He doesn't even get a penalty for that either because he's not addressed the ball, so he gets to just put it back. So that he can't even say that's one of his extra shots because it wasn't.
No.
I look at his scorecard and he started his first six holes like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worse. That's possible.
I was going to say, yeah, is that possible? Yeah. So, bust, I think we can agree on this, can we not? I don't know what yours is, but I know mine's Tiger Woods.
The Tiger Crash. Well, mine was a little bit more detailed. It was the Tiger Crash, obviously, but more to the point, why hasn't he got a chauffeur?
Yeah.
And if you see his face on the week before when he's like smiling like that, he's
day before.
And the day before when he's with Dwayne Wade, but more the week before when he was commentating. If his face, if he's high on some sort of pain meds, or his body obviously doesn't react well to whatever sort of a sedative that he's thinking, and he's being pulled over for driving someone in his team, he's a billionaire, like he should be there saying to him, look, we'll drive this week, Tiger, while you're on these things. He's got a Genesis Invitational car, put a man in it, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, exactly, and especially given how bad his back is as well, and
exactly,
you know, the problems that he's having. He's just had surgery. Should he really be functionally driving a car?
No, well, if you'd have any sort of, like, you'd have some sort of two aspirin sometimes if they're drowsy, or an antihistamine. It says do not operate a vehicle or machinery, and whatever he's on, that was well worse than antihistamine there.
But they have said, haven't they, that there's no signs of any of that, so it's a strange one. You can't speculate, can you?
How can there be no signs when there was clear signs on all over every video and every picture you've seen where he looks wellied?
On the Genesis on the Sunday when he's doing
and, and even with Dwayne Wade when he's playing that golf on the Monday, he's like smiling, he's smiling, heavy head on him.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
As soon as I seen it, you're like, get him a chauffeur.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be driving.
What if he refuses a chauffeur though? What if Tiger's stubborn where he says, no, I like to drive, put me music on and I want to do this.
Call the police. Because you're not allowed, it's illegal to drive on them sort of meds. It's surely to God.
Yeah, yeah.
No. I think that there should be someone in his team that should be a bit more on top of him. that is looking after him a bit more.
Yeah, no, I agree. Right, moving swiftly on, Ryder Cup season. We move on to the next Ryder Cup, the 12th, 1957 Ryder Cup.
First one in a while for the boys as well. The GB boys winning it.
They did, yeah, they did. But I think there was a bit of method to that, because I want to mention a name, Sir Stuart Goodwin. Have you heard of him?
No.
No. So doing a bit of research on the 1957, and I honestly believe that this guy and this Ryder Cup was the start of the beginning for the rise of the Ryder Cup the way it is today. And I'll explain why. So obviously, as we know, we've reviewed them up to now. The USA have just walked away with them all, and we've spoke about the GB team changing the way that they pick the players. And again, they do that again this time, and I'll come on to that. But Goodwin financially supported this event. He gave £10,000 to the PGA. And then with the money that was received from the gates that week, which was just over 16K, it was the first time that this tournament was a profitable tournament. They made £11,000 in profit. Nice. So,
how does Andy pay his 10 back? They've only made £1,000.
No, but I think this is the point. He's obviously gave that 10K, and that really? Is, he's a businessman from Yorkshire.
He's not a golfer or nothing.
No, not a golfer. He's a business. I can't remember for the life of me what he done. But he was a wealthy businessman, and he obviously just wanted to support it. And then he gave additional money as well to the RNA. I think it was the RNA to support the Walker Cup as well.
Ledge.
That £10,000 that he's given, then you'd think that would spark ideas in the head to think, do you know what, there's money to be made out of this Ryder Cup if we do it right. And no coincidence that the next time the Ryder Cup was over in Great Britain in 61, so obviously 59 it goes back to America, and then 61 it comes back to Great Britain at Royal Lytham St Anne's. There's no coincidence that that was when the format was completely changed to the 24 points.
Ah, right, nice.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so yeah,
they're putting a bit more trust in the youngsters in this one, I noticed. I know I always like to talk about the ages. A couple in the late 20s, like Peter Ellis, a couple in the early 30s, the average age is dropping a touch.
Yeah.
So it's you can eat a bit more trust going through into the, like, thinking, like, these are hard ones, and the 46, 40-odd-year-olds aren't getting up to it no more.
No, definitely. That's what I mean. They're putting a bit of faith behind it. Well, that goes on to them changing the format. So the team selection was a point system. This is the first time we've done a full point system. Out of the 12 players that got picked, two of them were picked because they won the open and the match play, so they automatically guaranteed. But then the other 10 players were picked over a two-year points-based system based on performance. So you're getting the most consistent players turning up. And like you've just said, no wonder they've gone on to win this one, because there's more of a strategic position to how the players have been picked.
Well, that's it, exactly. And you got more of a consistent player who's obviously a better golfer.
Exactly. And then what was the guy's name from Ireland that you like again?
Oh, Harry Bradshaw.
Was he there again?
He was there, yeah. 50% strike rate, has he?
There you go. So, like, these are people now who've been consistently playing, and Peter Ellis, like you just mentioned there.
Who you like?
No, your boy. But yeah, so no, as again, we just touch on it, don't we? The 1957 Ryder Cup, it was one that Great Britain won, but I do believe that this was the start of how the Ryder Cup changed. The point system stayed the same for the 59, which we'll talk about next week, but 61 was when it really started to ramp up and the point system changed.
Well, I've got a few pailers from this one. Harry Wheatman got a year's suspension because he got left out of the singles for saying he'll never play again as long as that Reese is the captain.
He had a bit of beef, haven't he?
Yeah, but he went to a tribunal and it got overturned so he could play again. But he got a PGA suspension.
Okay.
From all, like, for the whole thing, from the whole golf. Like, well, livelihoods.
Just because he kicked up a fuss about the captain?
Yeah, I think he must have slandered him and said that he's not playing another Ryder Cup again. So, like, I was murdered anyway in 55. And also, you know, I like to come with a bit of a random fact, don't you? So,
of course.
Do you know that the fella on the top of the golf, the trophy, is an actual person?
No?
Like, he's an actual golfer.
Is it that Sam Ryder, is it?
No. It's Sam Ryder's golf coach, Abe Mitchell.
All right.
So there you go. Have so, that one.
There we go.
So moving on from the Ryder Cup there onto my segment. Well, obviously, I'm calling it my segment just because you don't seem to be done it yet.
I'll be honest, I've been a bit slack on this one.
Is the one to watch segment.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We've already had Ashe Bhatia and we've had Tri Strafacy.
Yeah.
And now we've sticking with the mad names, Chung An Yu.
You don't make it easy, do you?
No. But what really caught my eye with this one is his name's Kevin Yu.
Oh, so Kev.
I wonder if Chung An is Kevin. Out of Arizona State, only Ram has had a better scoring average from Arizona State. In 2019, he came third to Wolf in the NCAA and he won the Men's Division One thing, but wasn't the final. He'd won three or four tournaments on the lead up. I'm not sure if he's still in college now, because this was done in December, this article, because I couldn't find any. It was for like this season coming up. That was
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because that one last week was December. He was number one amateur in the world.
Right.
So, and he's won the Arnold Palmer Cup.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if that bodes well, because remember we didn't recognize any of the names of it. And he's qualified for the US Open in 18, 19 and 20. So he's some boy, like.
Definitely, yeah. How can we not see? I've never even heard of him.
Well, I think he must be still amateur.
Right, yeah.
Well, he's still amateur as of December. So that's the sort of what I wanted to try and find is amateurs that are coming, that are definitely cemented to be coming on through to the... So he could be one to feature as in 2022, but it's just good for the listeners to be like, wow, I remember him off the Bogey Boys podcast.
No, definitely, yeah. Well, do you know what's good about that? And I need to do that a bit more as well because you seem to be on the ball with it. But I watch a lot of the NFL, the American football, and... college football's massive in America.
Yeah.
So would they always do a draft every year? So what they'll do is they'll get to they get a selection of how you get to pick your draft, and they get to select a player from the college. So the up and coming players, they get selected to become part of the NFL team. So it's important as an NFL fan to know what's going on in the college route, so you know who's coming.
Definitely.
Who's coming? So it all bodes well. I think it's brilliant that you're bringing this into the podcast because then
It's great. As soon as I seen that, Ashe Bhatia having an interview, I thought, you know what, we need to get looking at who's going to be bursting through and start making a few predictions and stuff, but a few bold statements.
Yeah,
about
yeah.
these players.
Let's beef this segment up over the coming weeks. Definitely, I'm liking it. I'm really liking it. Yeah.
Well, that's it. Moving on from that, then. Big tournament coming up again next week.
Part two of the Florida Swing, the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Back to a full field, thank God.
The format's back to it as well, Mark likes it.
We've got a cut.
and another little saving grace, will shut you up. Jordan Spieth's debut. He's never played this tournament before.
I've seen that. That's crazy, isn't it? That's crazy that he's never played that one before.
I wonder, it's mad that it's a major tournament, isn't it? It's a big one.
Well, I'll tell you how major it is, right? The winner of this event gets a 3-year PGA Tour exemption instead of a 2-year, and it's been on the PGA as a tournament since 1979, and it's been at Bay Hill every single year consistently. Since
I know why Spieth is playing it. It's because he's listened to our podcast, because we know he listens, and he's scared about losing his tour card.
I think that's it. I think he wants that three-year tournament exemption.
Job security.
And then he can come on the podcast and tell us all about it.
Yeah, I don't definitely.
Last
year, I was looking, there was only four players under par last year, and the winning score was -4.
Yeah.
So there was a bit of a hoolie blowing last year.
Yeah, it's either that or was this the first tournament back after COVID?
No, it was the second to last because they played one round of the players, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
But it was all weird. I don't think they had fans and stuff. It was a bit of golf was going ahead and nothing else was.
Right, yeah, I remember, yeah.
Then it was a weird feeling, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't stop to a big tittle, though, did it?
No, it was first and only PGA Tour win.
Yeah,
which they don't come few and far between, do they? Like you say, we've not many English people winning on American soil, so for him to do that, he's back defending. But it's interesting you talk about not just English but internationals. The last five winners of this event have all been internationals. The last American to win it was in 14 and 15. Matt Every won it back to back.
Strange stat, isn't it?
Yeah, the last five.
I'd say that'd be one of the only events where that anything like that's happened. That's why it's such a good fact, because like there's more Americans, isn't there? The odds are in the Americans' favour, especially for 5 years in a row.
Well, and if it's this is a tournament that's on the same the Bay Hill course every year, so it's probably the most consistent tournament that they have, by the Masters in Augusta, obviously.
It's like when I think Tiger won it like seven times, has he? Like seven or eight times, something.
Yeah, he's won a lot. Yeah, yeah.
And then when he was in his prime, and then he won again in 2013 on his little mini comeback, didn't he? So yeah. Because he's got a feel for the place and he knows the course well, but which you'd think it'd be the same for everyone, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well that's it. Yeah, I mean I didn't look back at who's won it over the last 5 years, but it might be that fact that. I don't know, maybe if an Adam Scott won it or a Sergio Garcia or somebody like that, somebody who's played in it every year for the last 10 years.
Yeah, so they know the course.
They know the course, yeah, rather than an American turning up and doing it. But, you know, you'd think like you've got a lot of American veterans you think could turn up and win that, like a Phil Mickelson or someone, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, speaking of American veterans, both Ryder Cup captains have had sponsors invites this week.
Yeah.
As we mentioned, Steve Stricker, but then Padraig Harrington's got one as well.
Be interesting. I hope they play together.
Be nice if we played together. Imagine they spoke Storm. They were like, I'm gonna fucking pick myself in this team.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, or they made the team.
I know. What do you reckon they'd do?
Gotta play, haven't you?
Pass it on to the vice and say you're captain, I'll do it next time.
You'd have to, the armband. I'm going out to shoot me lights out.
No, but yeah, it should be a good tournament. He's not the only one who's got a sponsor's invite. We spoke about him a couple of weeks ago. Cam Ayu Johnson, he returns again. Yeah. Returns again for his second PGA Tour start. Obviously, didn't have the best of tournaments, missing the cut. A couple of weeks back at the Genesis.
Yeah, well, he was meant to play the Farmers Insurance, but then he got COVID.
Yeah, so he's played at the Genesis and missed the cut. But it should be interesting to see how he goes.
Boss, if he just makes the cut and gets a bit of money, or like does well and gets another. Start, yeah. And it just kickstarts the career for him. Then it's a proper story that, like, it's already a proper story, but like it's life changing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. He's not just playing these events; he's actually doing bits in it.
Yeah.
There's you just mentioned there. Jordan Spieth is making his debut, but there's a few notables that are missing this week. DJ, Justin Thomas, John Rahm, and Morikawa are all missing.
Has Morikawa never been in the field, or because he won that he's pulled out? Do you think?
I'm not sure. I didn't check. I wouldn't know. But no, I think if he'd have made commitments to play, he would have carried on playing. Because, I mean, Max Homer did it, didn't he? Max Homer won and then played the following week. I don't think that would be the issue. Maybe because there is so many tournaments in Florida, they're just picking and choosing because the Players is the big one next week, isn't it? It's like a fifth major, isn't it, the Players? So
I love the Players, yeah.
One of the best tournaments out there.
I like this week as well. It's got a good feel to it.
It has, yeah. I mean, you've still got the likes. Bryson's playing, Tommy Fleetwood's there, Rory McIlroy, Patrick Reed. And it's no slouch either. 7,454 yards, par 72.
Beast.
The course that they'll be used to anyway.
Nah.
Yeah. So looking forward to another big tournament as we continue on the Florida swing.
And the time difference in Florida again. Like, it was nice that finishing about 11 o'clock, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, you can watch it all.
A little
bit
better.
Definitely.
We always
talk
about the times, but it's so important being in England, isn't it? Like, it's like, and you've got stuff to do on the Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, definitely. You don't want them to 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, is it? A nightmare.
No, having to get up and watching the. Well, we never normally make them, do we? We normally have to get up and just watch the repeats.
I know.
Yeah. But before we move on to our picks, just quickly, the LPGA Tour continues as well on their Florida swing. It's the third drive-on championship. So it's the first time it's going to be at the Golden Ocala in Florida. And this drive-on, we spoke about it last week, about the story of Madeleine.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That was brought about due to coronavirus, where they couldn't have the international tournament. So they put a few tournaments on in America to keep the tour going. And it just the whole point of it is just to show the resilience of the players on the LPGA Tour. It's a par 72, 6,852 yards. But we spoke about this earlier on, the purse, 1.5 million for the tournament.
It's like, and as you said,
it needs a cash injection.
Just, he's getting some more just for winning, never mind the whole purse.
Well, he's getting this whole purse plus Corda's winning money together.
Just for the win. Yeah,
just exactly. For the win. Yeah, 1.8 million. I know. So, yeah, but it is. But again, another event that we'll be talking more about next week, and we're looking forward to watching. If we can try and watch them both, we definitely will do, yeah.
Just to go back to touch there to the Bay Hill, it's Tyrrell Hatton, Francesco Molinari, Rory McIlroy, Mark Leishman, Jason Day. We're your five international winners. Multiple winners, aren't they?
Yeah, multiple years
major,
on.
Couple of major champions, Rory, Molinari.
Multiple years on tour as well, aren't they?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, no. Jason Day, major champion as well.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Right then, order of merit time. Slid into the top 10, Kev.
Slid in now.
Sliding into the top 10 now with your little, was it 18 points, 18 points in this week, popping in with a 30.
Mr. Consistent at the minute.
Mr. Consistent. I've actually risen off the top, off the bottom of the leaderboard.
Well done.
I got myself 20 points this week. And it was all down to Carlos Ortiz finishing Eagle Birdie to sneak into the top 20 and give me some
points.
So
without that, you wouldn't have had no points.
Had I still been bottom of the league, yeah. Well, actually, your Kieran got 5 points, so I'd have been bottom on my own. So he's looked after me this week, the Mexican, at the WGC Mexico. So it was justifying him picking him for the passion. So maybe we'll go for that more often, that route.
Definitely. Speaking of our Kieran, he's actually in Florida now, going to the Bay Hill. I can't believe I missed that. A key nugget of information that makes me absolutely sick to my stomach.
Tell me about it.
Like, he's just swanning around Miami like it's nothing.
The same week that we've just had to cancel our trip to Turkey.
I know, yeah. And he's a little bastard, isn't he? Amazing, though. Like, I'll have time to get some footage for the Insta.
Yeah, definitely. Hope he enjoys himself. I'm sure he will.
Happy boss.
Yeah, it will be amazing. Back having fans there. Love it.
Hopefully he's there. He might get a bit of insight. Hopefully he gets someone at the course that he can meet to do his picks for him. Get him off the bottom.
You should go straight up to Hudson Swafford and just say, I'm the brother of the Bogey Boys podcast. Sort us out.
Yeah, can you do my picks for me for the Bogey Boys order of many?
Shall I pick you, yes or no?
Yeah.
Right, let's have your picks then. Shall I go first? You went first last time.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, okay. So, pot one, Rory McIlroy. Didn't know he was a past champion, but now that I know he's a past champion, it's just a viable pick.
Cemented in.
No, I just think he's close, Rory. He is close.
No, he is, definitely.
He's showing signs of being very close to, I think when he does win a tournament, he's going to romp it.
Yeah.
He's going to win by a few, I think.
Definitely.
No, yeah, he just needs to get the putter rolling. I've seen a statistic that he'd missed three putts in the first couple of rounds between 3 and 7 foot.
Yeah, you've got to be solid from that 10 foot, haven't you, to be winning tournaments these days?
You'd have. Pot number two, I'm going to give him another goal, Maverick McNealy.
Yeah.
He missed the cut last time out at the Genesis after finishing second at the AT&T, but he's definitely a player in form. He's had a week off there. To get his game back to where it needs to be. So I'm going to stick with him, Maverick McNealy, and hopefully he can bring some points home. Pot three, going Victor Perez, man on form, really. French guy off the European Tour, yeah. Starting to cement himself on the PGA Tour. Now, we spoke about that, haven't we? Once they get a few starts on the PGA Tour, if they do well, you see a full transition. We've seen it with Tommy. We've seen it with Hatton. And it looks like we're seeing it with Perez now. So I'm expecting big things from him. And pot four, friend of the show, and I'm backing him because he's a friend of the show, Hudson Swafford.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. Backing Hud. So if you're listening, which you know you are, Hud, good luck this week, my brother.
Good luck, brother. Well, I've picked Hudson as well, so I'll do my picks backwards because I'm going with Hudson Swafford as well, obviously, because he's a friend of the show.
Obviously.
Another arm twister was pot three, because we just had Chris Rice on, who's caddies for Harold Varner the third. I'm going to have to pick him now for that.
Another friend of the show.
A mad one that I've seen, because he's pot two and he's quality. Matt Wallace, I've never picked him before, so I thought I'd pick him.
Yeah.
That's me pot two.
Yeah.
And then me pot one, I was thinking Hovland or Horschel. Hovland or Horschel. I don't know what to say.
You got to pick one.
Hovland.
Hovland.
I've actually wrote Horschel there, but I'm going to go with Hovland.
I hope Horschel wins. Solid stuff. I've got some making up to do, me. At least I'm off the bottom. That's the main thing. A new leader, Danny Jones, DJ, the GOAT.
DJ, man.
Yeah.
I love the format. I was thinking it was too volatile, but now it's perfect because it's such a big emphasis on pop four and three, even though like I've went with my heart over my head.
It seems to have worked so far for you.
I might as well just get a dartboard and just throw the thing at it and pick one.
Yeah, no, but look, another fantastic week of golf to look forward to. The Arnold Palmer Invitational, and then we've got the Drive On Championship across the men and women's tours. And then in a couple of weeks, the European Tour will be back playing. More tournaments to look forward to, more golf to get excited about. And we'll continue to provide this information and try and grow the game that we love.
That's it. We've got plenty more interviews coming as well. We've got a couple of guests lined up this week, so that'll be available on the Patreon for our Patreon members, and obviously available for everyone else a little bit later.
Yeah, on the normal scheduled times, yeah. So
thanks for your support, and until next week.
No, thanks very much, Kevin, and we'll catch up next time.
Ciao.
Thank you.